Hey, this is Wes Shaw from Viva the Matadors, back with you again for another episode of the Air Raid Podcast. I've got Ryan Smith with me here today. What's happening, Ryan?
A lot. Loving the big win.
Loving it. I think all Red Raider Nation is, although on Facebook there were still a couple of negative people who couldn't or didn't seem to enjoy the victory, just couldn't let themselves enjoy it, which I thought was interesting. Usually I'm kind of a negative Nelly. As my close friends will tell you, when it comes to tech football, I'm usually the pessimist of the group, but I realized reading those Facebook comments that I am not the most negative, so that was good. That made me feel good. Oh, just upset with the 5.3 yards a carry, which I thought was interesting because, I mean, Arkansas last year, they averaged 5.1. So, you know, tech defense, what are you expecting? I mean, 5.3, I was happy. And you know what? They were actually at 5.1 before the very last run of the game when we were playing prevent defense. They ran one for, what, I don't know, 15, 20 yards. And that bumped them up to 5.3. But take that last run away, which is just a nothing run. They were at 5.1, and it's like that was a pretty damn good performance. You know, out of tech defense, if you're expecting them to come in, you know, shutting someone down 2.5 yards a carry, it's just the expectation there, I think, is a little out of whack if that's what you're expecting.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, that was one of them, and I can't remember the other one. I think it was something to do with missed tackles. But, you know, I guess we can kind of start there. You know, if Kingsbury at the beginning of the season, turnovers, penalties – missed tackles, just kind of sloppiness in general. He was real big on those, and two of the three of them through 3 weeks looks good, right? I mean, turnovers and penalties, right? We're not doing too bad there.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And with as far as missed tackles goes, the thing that you have to remember is that in that second quarter, when I saw a lot of missed tackles, Arkansas was on the field for 13 and a half minutes time of possession versus Texas Tech. Second quarter, they had the ball for 13 and a half minutes.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Texas Tech. So they started the second quarter, they had a big 8-minute drive that got them points. Then Jakeem Grant to Reginald Davis for 72 yards. That took 26 seconds off the clock. And then they had another huge drive down the field. So you want to talk about being tired.
Yeah.
Yard, you know, run after run after run, trying to tackle. You're going to have some missed tackles there, and I think they did a pretty good job for being on the field for that long in the second quarter.
Yeah, and my big thing, I'm big into stats and trends, and through three games, what I've seen consistently from the defense, although they haven't played lights out four quarters, they've always came out through three games in the second half and played much better.
Yes, which is huge because last year we didn't do that. You know, Kingsbury going into halftime would always say, hey, we have to stop. We have to win the third quarter. We got to come out and get a stop. And we've actually done that this year. I think it's huge. I mean, against UTEP, we gave up 3 points in the second half. Arkansas, 3 points in the second half. And then Sam Houston, the opener, 14 points in garbage time in the fourth. So not bad at all.
Yeah. No, that's one of – the best things that I've seen in my big – that's probably my biggest takeaway through three games is just the – you know, there's others, but I love seeing that that's happened in all three games, that we've come out, we've made adjustments at halftime and really yes. improved. What's your biggest takeaway from the game last night? Anything in particular?
I'm really excited about the bend but don't break defense that's come back to Texas Tech. I think that's a big thing where you allow them to move up and down in between the 20s, but once you get into the red zone, you kind of – hunker down, and I think it really showed, you know, what was it? They were inside the five at the four-yard line. It was third and three maybe, and we got a big stop and forced them to a field goal. It's their only field goal to get them to 24 points. But that was huge. I mean, that was kind of like, okay, you can move it all the way down the field, but we're going to stop you right here. We're going to bow up and kind of not let you go any farther. And that kind of brings us back to the Mike Leach, Ruffin McNeil type of defenses where, yeah, we'd give up some yards, but we would not necessarily give up a ton of points. And I think that was the biggest takeaway is that we're not just letting them score every single drive. We're getting stops, even if it's just holding them to 3 points and not a touchdown. That was big.
Yeah. There was a big debate over here as we were watching the game last night. Would you have went for it on that one if you were Bielema? On that four, you know, after you knew the way the game had went, that you just had the feeling that Tech would score again. I mean, they hadn't stopped us unless it was the halftime whistle or us throwing up long interceptions that were no more than punts or Hail Mary at the end of the half. So would you, you know, I don't know. We were kind of in a heated debate. And I know, I'm kind of on the fence. I really couldn't decide, but I probably would have gone for it. I kind of felt like for them, the game was up in the air at that point, and if they were to kick a field goal, they were surrendering.
Yeah, I always kind of see things from a coach's perspective, and all the news out of Fayetteville was kind of pure panic. they were really hoping that this was kind of be their year to kind of get back into the SEC West title race, and that loss to Toledo really kind of opened some eyes, and you know, they were all saying that this was a must-win game for Texas Tech. So there's two trains of thought here. Yes, you have to go for it to win the game. I'm absolutely right. But at the same time, although you're sending a message that we're here to win, it may have also been sending the wrong message, as in, I don't trust my defense to do the job. I don't think that we can stop them. I think this is our season almost right here, and we just can't really do anything but just go for it and just hope for the best. And if you go for it, you don't make it, you put Tech in a difficult spot. But at the same time, I think he was really trying to pump up his defense a little bit and said, hey, I got faith in you, get me the ball back, I'm going to take three here, get it within a 4-point game, and then see if you can get a stop for me. So
yeah,
I can see it both ways.
Yeah, that's a good point, though, just as a long-term confidence thing, saying, yeah, hey, I've got no faith that you're going to stop them is probably not the message that you want to send.
Yeah,
that makes sense. So last night, the game ball went to Reginald Davis. He had 115 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and solid game. Is that who your game ball goes to, or do you have someone else?
I actually have somebody else. Jashawn Johnson, true freshman safety. He was in on 16 tackles. He had 4 solo, 12 assisted. He had a forced fumble there at the end and the fumble recovery to kind of seal it. And I think he's really stepped up as a true freshman, really starting to come into his own and say, this, you know, this is my spot now. And he's smaller than Terrence Bullitt, but he kind of reminds me of that kind of Terrence Bullitt mentality, that hybrid safety linebacker where he's going to go up into the box if necessary and get a tackle or at least be a part of the play. He likes to play it close to the line. So I give it to him. I think he was crucial on a lot of plays and was in on a lot of plays, just flying around trying to make a play.
Yeah, I thought he had a hell of a game. And Davis, too. I between those two, I think it's a toss-up. I think you'd give it to either one of those guys. I like the way Dakota Allen played. Now, this is two games in a row that he's played really well, which is good to see. I got to thinking about it this morning. I didn't really see Alway much. He made a couple of plays here or there, but the linebackers I didn't see making – I thought it was our secondary making the plays on the defensive side of the ball last night outside of Allen. But it could have been kind of the way that Gibbs wanted to set things up, just knowing that they were going to hammer us with the run, which is – we knew was coming, but it was kind of all hands on deck. Let's make sure that if we're our front seven – are taking on the blocks, that our safeties are there to clean it up, which they did a good job of. Johnson in particular did a good job of. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so one more topic game-wise. I was assumed that Arkansas would come out and run the ball like they did. Were you surprised that we didn't win the turnover battle last night?
Surprised?
We've done it two games in a row. I mean, that's the first time since like 20.
Yeah.
I looked it up the other day. It was like 2011 or 2012 or something like that.
Yeah. I just don't think – I mean, that's a lot of confidence in a young, emerging defense to go on the road in an SEC environment, and not just on the defense but on the offense, to make sure that, you know, heaven forbid Washington didn't put it on the ground, or Stockton didn't put it on the ground, or Mahomes didn't throw an interception here or there. But, you know, we did get two. Tevin Madison there in the first on the second drive of the game, picking that off on the overthrow, and then Deshaun Johnson there at the end, getting it back. And I think I would say if it's a negative gain, you know, 2-2, if it's just a neutral zero sum, I would take that as a win.
Yeah, I would too. I agree with you.
Don't lose the turnover battle. You win the turnover battle.
Yeah, I'm gonna look up and see when the last time we didn't lose the turnover battle three times in a row. When the last time that's happened? Because like I said, the last time we've won the turnover battle two games in a row was 2012, if I'm not mistaken. And then to not lose it three times in a row, I bet it's been a while. All right, so then let's back away from the game. Great win. Now let's look at it in the perspective of the season. I'm kind of bouncing back and forth now on, well, does this change the season? I think everyone kind of was hoping and thought maybe we could win one of the three games between TCU, Baylor, Arkansas. But I don't think many people would have went in there predicted. We gave up 3 points to them second half. That's it. 24 total, won by 11 points. Does it change your perspective of the season? I mean, is this the changing of the guard as far as are we going from 4-8 to 10-2, something like that? Put it in perspective, and then I'll give you my opinion.
Well, I predicted 9-3 at the beginning of the year.
I saw you bragging about that, by the way, in your recap.
Spoiler, we're going to win TCU and Baylor, too. We're going to take all three, but
all right.
I think as far as big perspective, you know, grand scheme of things for this team, I think it's a huge confidence boost. I think this is the changing of the guard. I think we're going to have one of those TCU type seasons from a couple years ago, where you know 2013 they go 4-8, 2014 they're in up for the FBS playoff spot. So I'm not sure we're going to get to that degree of national notoriety or being that position at the end of the season, but it's definitely going to be a big time turnaround. And the only thing I can really look at is, you can say the play of Mahomes, but really it's just, you got to give it to the defense. 2013, we're playing with a bunch of seniors that weren't necessarily recruited by the previous coach. It's probably two coaches ago with Darquan Bush and Terrence Bullitt and Kerry Hyder. And then last year, we were a bunch of true freshmen and JUCO fill-ins kind of just trying to tread water, and this is the first year that we've actually had depth to really go out there. Gibbs makes a hell of a difference, but really, them keeping us in the game, getting the ball back, turnovers, I do think this is a good step in the right direction, and only bigger things to come.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I was, at the beginning of the season, a 7-5 guy. I probably upped it just looking at the Big 12, upped it by a win, maybe two. So, if everything falls right, 9-3. I think at this point, if you're not bowl eligible at the end of the season after this win, things have gone horribly wrong. Would you agree with that?
I would agree because yeah. Texas is down. I think they're still a dangerous team, but there's no doubt about it that they're a down team this year.
Yeah.
Kansas State is not what it once was.
That's exactly what I was – their offense is bad. Their defense
– Their defense is decent.
It's okay.
They're serviceable, but if you don't score points, what's the point?
Yeah, yeah.
So those are two games right there on top of Kansas and Iowa State. I mean, that's seven wins right there.
Yeah.
And if you've got – OSU at home,
mm-hmm.
Baylor at a neutral site, TCU at home, and Norman on the road, Oklahoma on the road. So there's definitely a possibility to really rack up some wins this year and carry, a lot of momentum into 2016.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. So no bowl would just be something horribly went wrong. At this point,
Mahomes cracks his collarbone, Webb breaks his ankle, and we're on to the third or fourth string quarterback, and yeah, it's just all downhill from there.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say at this point, I think the ceiling is kind of 8 wins, 9 wins, and then a bowl game with a chance to get to 9 or 10 wins. That's kind of where I feel like things have gone. And that's me, too, looking just like you were kind of running through the Big 12 teams, looking at the Big 12 teams. I mean, Iowa State, Kansas, not worth our time. K-State, at this point, I'm looking at it should be a win based on what I've seen out of both teams. And I've watched two of the Kansas State games, the last two.
And it's home.
Yeah. West Virginia, I feel like that's a chance for a win, no doubt about it. Oklahoma State, I feel the same way. That's a chance for a win, no doubt about it. And then TCU, Baylor, Texas on the road, Oklahoma on the road, those are the four toughies.
Yeah, the only one that I'm really kind of concerned about is the West Virginia game, as far as I don't think we're going to get out of there with a win, and that simply because at that point the season with where our bye falls, we don't have a bye week until the week before Texas.
Yeah.
So I just think, that's a lot of wear and tear. I think we're going to still do well, but I think that game or the one of those games right around there, it's going to catch up with us and we're just going to look kind of flat. Yeah. But that's the only one. I think every other game than that, and we still may pull that out, but as far as a general sense, every other game than that one, I think we have a really good chance to win.
Yeah. So what's the I'll kind of give you my take and then shoot it over to you. We'll answer the question, what's been the biggest turnaround? You touched on it a little bit. I think sloppiness is looked much better. I mean, we came out the first game, we're a little sloppy, got better the second game, and then think we played, even though we only had two turnovers, which has been the most in one game this season, I still feel like those were kind of trash turnovers that weren't all that big of a deal.
Absolutely.
So I feel like we're a lot less sloppy than we were, which has been huge. The defense has come out in the second half and shut teams down, which is the reason that we won the Arkansas game. Between those two things and then just the play of Holmes and his ability to score quickly with this offense, where in the past Kingsbury always, that was his mantra, was to ATMO, air that mother out, but just didn't have the quarterback to do it, I don't think, until Mahomes got here. And he just has that ability to see the deep ball and complete the deep ball. And also, he has a good knack for moving around and creating a play out of not much. So I think between those three reasons, that's why we got off to the 3-0 start and are, 75% of the way to our win total versus last year. What do you think the reasons are for the turnaround? Any different?
No, you're absolutely right. I think if you look at this year compared to last year, if you are not a pessimistic fan, not a negative Nelly, last year we were in a lot of games. We've talked about it on some articles. We've talked about it in the podcast where we just kind of shot ourselves in the foot with penalties. And this year, the last two games, we've had four penalties total in each game. So eight total. And that used to be like the first half of the game last year. Against Arkansas, we had four penalties for 31 yards, and one of those was a 15-yarder on gains.
Which was ridiculous, by the way, just to recap for those who missed it.
Yeah, so you take that away, and we're averaging, 5 yards a penalty because of false starts and, maybe an offsides or, something very minor. So if you look at, say, go back to the Oklahoma game last year, we had at least two or three touchdowns called back for offensive holding or illegal block in the back or something that was, really didn't need to happen. I think the offensive line was still getting used to Mahomes moving the pocket. But, now it's not an issue and we're starting to get those, those big plays. I when Grant threw that pass to Davis and he was just, I was sitting there, there's got to be a flag. That's got to be coming back. There's no way that he was that open, that there wasn't a holding penalty. It kind of 2014 crept back in, but there wasn't. They played – it was a great play, and it worked out. So I think you're absolutely right. The sloppiness, taking care of that, and everything else has just kind of fallen into place.
Yeah, and just to some stats to back that up. So last year we were 124 out of 125 teams in the nation on a penalties per game average. We're averaging 9.33 penalties per game, 124 in the nation. This year we are averaging 6 penalties a game, which is good for number 52 in the nation. And then turnover margin-wise, last year we were at 116 in the nation at a negative 13 total turnover margin. And then this season we are tied for – let me see. I think it was number 6 in the nation. Am I right? Number 8.
It should have gone down.
Plus 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, that may have not been with yesterday's. Well, yeah, that'd be right.
Yeah,
so we've lost four. We've lost four. Yeah, so we dropped just a little bit. But yeah, number 8 in the nation, up from number 116. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll help dramatically. So where do we fall in the Big 12, do you think, now after watching this? If you were to just give Tech a number between 1 and 12. Oh, I'm sorry, we only have 10 teams in the Big 12. One through 10.
I have them at 5. I think that's a nice, safe place to put them ahead of Texas and Kansas State. I think just because we have to be objective, you got to keep Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma, OSU in front of us. Then it's Tech and then everybody else.
West Virginia. Where does West Virginia fall?
I think they're right behind us.
Okay.
I think it might be interchangeable, 5 and 6. We'll learn a lot about West Virginia in the coming weeks, as we learn a lot about ourselves in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think, you know, talking about penalties, TCU reminds me of us last year. They had, yesterday against SMU, they had 9 penalties for 115 yards.
Whew.
That's not going to get it done.
No.
I mean, that's not getting it done at all. So, with that, we have to understand that penalties are a big deal, and I think we're going to be just fine, and, you know, we're right in the middle of the pack somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. I think 5 or 6. West Virginia and Tech are interchangeable, and I agree. After watching K-State and watching us yesterday, I bumped them down. I've had Texas behind us, I think, for the last week in our little power poll. I've had us at number 7, but I would move us up to 5 or 6 with West Virginia right there, Kansas State behind us, and then the 2 Oklahoma teams, Baylor and TCU, in front of us until we prove otherwise. I know some people
were,
I saw an article today calling us a dark horse in the Big 12, and it's like, well, the Big 12 hadn't started yet. Let's pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes a little bit.
No doubt. All right, so then on to the very last topic, which is, what was running through Kingsbury's mind when he called out Bielema last night? It's usually not – we touched on this a little bit before we jumped on the podcast, but just usually not his style. He's very buttoned up with the media, always buttoned up with the media. So to call someone out, I mean, even when the Wallerstat stuff went down last season – you never heard a peep from him. He was buttoned up, and I'm sure there were probably some legal issue type things that he didn't touch on, couldn't touch on for certain reasons, but he's just always been buttoned up, and this was the first time that he stepped out of bounds on that, and it was just out of character. So I think it kind of caught a lot of people off guard. What are your thoughts on it?
It definitely caught me off guard. I was going to follow the post-game press conference on the Texas Tech site and have it streamed, and they didn't have it streaming, and all of a sudden, you know, Twitter's blowing up about what Kingsbury's saying right off the bat. So then all of a sudden everybody's all into it. But I think with Kingsbury being as young as he is, he still lets his emotions get the better of him every now and then, and I think it had to have been something pretty egregious for him to kind of say what he said. I don't necessarily dispute or say he shouldn't have said it. But, you know, it may have been at that conference that he made that comment directly to Kingsbury.
Yeah.
And Kingsbury was like, hold up. You're gonna play it that way? Okay.
Yeah.
And when we go into your house and, you know, you're all about physicality, we're going to outmatch you and we're going to send you home.
Yeah.
And I think he just said, you know what? You had it coming.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, and I personally love it. I get tired of coach speak. I get tired of the same answers. I get tired of the, you know, day-to-day. He's day-to-day. You know, just that when it comes to injuries and just the, yeah, we're working hard. We're going to practice on that. It's good to see that there's a little something behind it. And since we don't see that much out of Kingsbury, it caught everyone by surprise. And personally, I liked it. Maybe it wasn't the exact right thing to say, but I'm not gonna get upset about it or throw my hands up about it or make a stink, because, like I said, I like he was different than his usual coach speak self.
Yeah, I mean, and just imagine coming from that locker room and what that was like. Going from there to the post game presser, he's probably still got a lot of adrenaline going. He's probably still kind of ticked off that Bielma didn't come over and shake his hand and just ran off the field. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
We'll do it that way.
Yeah, so. Here we go. Yeah. All right, so before we wrap this up, expectations for next week. So you were bragging. You called the TCU win as well?
I did. I did call the TCU win.
All right.
I can't remember exactly the score that I predicted, but I think we win double digits.
Ooh. That'd be big.
They're just too many questions with TCU's defense. I've watched them the last few games. Obviously, they've only played three, but we know better than anybody that college football isn't static.
Yeah.
You know, seniors graduate, new players come in, and even some of the same plays that you were able to do last year don't always translate to this year.
Yeah.
And yes, they put up a ton of yards, but they also gave up 508 yards of offense to SMU at home. They also, it was 42-37 with 8 minutes left to go in the fourth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and unfortunately, that's about the time I flipped it on. And then everything went south for SMU after that.
And you kind of expected that because SMU is new coach. They're still building. They don't have a vaunted defense at all to really, you know, keep up with TCU. They have a decent offense. But
that's even more scheme than it is players at this point.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. So you can't – them going into Lubbock, you got to take in, you know, that into account. The way Mahomes is rolling with the offense with Grant and Washington. I do think Kingsbury needs to get him the ball a little bit more. But I think we have a really good chance, and I think everybody doesn't want to talk about it, but we're going to – that 82 is looming. We have a lot of prideful – I'm serious. A lot of prideful players. I know Kingsbury, we just saw what he holds on to from a conference in the summer to how it drives him to go make a statement.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to go out there and try to hang 70 on him and say,
"Yep, how does it feel?"
And you know, you're the number three team in the country. Well, you're not anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's we talked about winning one of the three. If we've gotten two of the three, who's to say that we don't go into a neutral stadium where we were one play away or a couple plays away from beating Baylor last year?
Yeah.
You know, it's the kind of the perfect storm here that if we can get through this, it's going to be a 7-0 record going into Norman.
Yeah, boy, how no one would have scripted that. Did you script that? You didn't script it, right?
I did script that.
You did?
Yeah, 7-0 going into Norman.
And we finished 9-3. That's what you called, right?
Finished 9-3, yeah. I actually think we lose in Norman.
Yeah.
I think it's just the emotional kind of being spent from Arkansas to TCU to Baylor kind of catches up with us, but we rebound really quickly and take care of business the next week.
Yeah. I like it. I would take it right now. I would say if you could sign me up for TCU Baylor wins and finishing the season 9-3, I would take
it. There
we go. Yeah. Yeah. No complaints. Well, anything else on your end? I think that's all the questions and comments I had. What about you?
The only thing that I got into a little bit of a debate this morning with a friend of mine that went to Tech about, they were just kind of really shocked that in this turnaround that Tech has had, and they used the word astonishing, that they just couldn't believe it. And I was just, you know, we talk about it all the time. We're into the recruiting, we're into the schemes, we're into the play calling, player personnel. And I just don't think that this was that big of a stretch to really kind of see where this was going and say, like, yeah, we can beat Arkansas. Even if they didn't lose to Toledo. I mean, how good were you feeling going into Arkansas, even if they didn't lose to Toledo?
Yeah. Well, so here's kind of how I was. This is, and maybe I'm speaking for most Red Raider fans. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. But I, you know, what happened with Davis Webb coming out of his freshman year into his sophomore year, there was a lot of hype. He didn't play bad, but he didn't live up to the huge expectations that everyone put on his shoulders. And I tried to temper my enthusiasm based on what I'd seen out of Mahomes at the end of last season. And coming into his sophomore season, I didn't want to get too hyped up that, man, if he's as good as he was towards the end of last season, this offense is going to be just hard to stop. So I tried to temper my enthusiasm because I didn't want to be let down again. But I thought if Mahomes, if he plays like that, and this offense is the same way because we really didn't lose anybody on offense, that they could put up some big points and keep us in games no matter how bad our defense was. And if Gibbs came in and upped the defense just a little bit, which he's done, that things could come together and they could have a good season. But I think while everyone, like myself, kind of hoped, prayed a little bit for that outcome, everyone wanted to temper their enthusiasm or not get their hopes up that it could happen. So maybe that's where the astonishing word comes from. I wouldn't call it astonishing. I agree with you. But I think a lot of people were just trying to temper their expectations that it could be a much better season than anticipated.
I mean, if you remember going back to the first podcast this season, we talked about why does the Sam Houston game feel like a must win? You know, everybody was kind of into it, whether there were going to be dumpster fires the next day if it didn't work out or anything like that. And that the question was certainly swirling among some Tech fans of the hotness, not of Kingsbury, but of his seat as head coach of Texas Tech. And I really didn't think that it was hot at all, regardless of his contract. He just needed the time to put the team back together that was really, really destroyed under the last regime. So I just think, people did temper their expectations, but it's not that hard to see this one coming.
Yeah. And like I said, I could have visualized it happening, but I really didn't want to let myself believe that we could get to 3-0 and feel really good about our chances for the next, you know, for winning three out of the next four games.
Right. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's you said it earlier. It's crazy how the landscape of college football could change from year to year and week to week. It's just kind of a roller coaster ride, and can't get too high, can't get too low. Just kind of ride it out until things turn better. And it looks like through three games anyway that we are a little bit better, a lot better. So it's good to see. I said it in my article last night. Man, it just feels good to feel relevant again.
Absolutely.
Last year we didn't, and I just had a hard time getting pumped up, and I found myself a lot more enthusiastic about this game and when a good play happened, really getting into it as opposed to, you know.
And here's one more thing. We have so much depth on defense and offense. When's the last time you heard about injuries?
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, a couple of good players out, and we're not missing a beat.
Yeah. Hey, where was Mike Mitchell last night? Did he not play at all? I didn't see him on the field.
I didn't see him at all. Yeah. And kind of to your point on Mike Alway, I don't think they were rotating linebackers in heavily as much as they did the first couple of games.
Yeah.
But I didn't see Mike Mitchell at all.
Yeah.
I may have missed him here and there, but I didn't see him.
Yeah, seeing a lot of the defense, I mean, it was like, hey, we've got fresh blood, we've got a superstar in Fajoko, which he's turned out to play. I mean, he's turned out as a true freshman to do pretty well. And then, oh, Mike Mitchell, you know, a former five-star. And then it's like that guy hasn't been able to crack the lineup yet. Not saying he won't impact later in the season or next, whatever. But as of now, he hasn't impacted the defense, yet we are still, you know, head and shoulders above last season.
Right. And it may just be a point where Gibbs doesn't know what to do with him yet. He's got this, what's been called a freak athlete, and you're just trying to put him in the best situation to be successful, and he just doesn't know what to do with him with.
Yeah.
Especially with guys like Dakota Allen and Chris Williams kind of stepping up and playing well.
You just
don't really have the opportunity to get him in.
Well, and I think if at the beginning of the season you would have said, yeah, Mike Mitchell hasn't impacted the defense at all and we're better, that a lot of people would have been like, eh, really, are we? Because it's the same guys other than him and adding in Fajoko. How are we going to be better without him? I just don't think a lot of people would have believed if our defense was improved, they would have had to believe that Mitchell would have been a part of it because of all the stories of how much of a freak athlete he is.
Yeah,
so.
Agreed.
Well, I appreciate the time, man. Good discussion. Yeah, absolutely. And I hope we could talk again and have the same enthusiasm and joy coming out of Saturday's game that we have coming out of this one, because it was fun to watch. Like I said, fun to feel relevant again. We didn't crack the top 25. I just saw that. I don't know if you did. K-State's at number 25 now.
I think we're 32 in the coaches poll.
Okay, so 32. So we're on the fringe.
And you wanted to be in the top half of defense. Do you know where we're at this year?
Defensively? No. Are you setting me up here? Do you know?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Yeah. I'll look it up right now.
Yeah. Let's see. And by the way, the TCU prediction was 63-28.
That was your prediction. You're predicting we beat them 63-28?
Yeah, that was me before the season.
Woo.
Yeah.
We are currently.
I'm going to get a lot of heat for this. I'm going to get a lot of flack if we don't get to that. They're going to be like, "Who is that guy talking?"
Yeah.
All the smack, yeah.
That's right. So we are currently at 112 is what I'm seeing.
In total defense?
Uh-huh, and last year we were 122. We're giving up maybe 15 less yards per game. We're okay. 491 this season. Last year we were at 512. So, you know, I think the first game hurt us. I mean, outside, what did we give up last night? 400 and change?
428.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, last game we gave up right at 500, I want to say, four high 400s. So
yeah,
you know, if
yeah,
you
somewhere around there.
Yeah, if you can get down in the, I don't know. I think I said at the beginning of the season, if we could crack triple digits, if we could get to number 99 in the nation, we've done all right. So we'll see where we end up.
Yeah.
It's hard in the Big 12, though. I mean, if the Big 12 is just it's just a beast to. Total defense-wise to get it. I would be more impressed if we could stay number 8 in the nation in turnover margin throughout the season. I think I'm fine with where the defense is at.
I agree.
You know, I think the offense is good enough that if you can do well in turnover margin, we'll win a lot of games, even if we're giving up 500. Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully we'll be talking next week, like I said, with the same joy and enthusiasm after another win. So we will see. You've predicted it, so your ass is on the line.
It is. It's out there.
Yeah, so, that's right. So, yeah, if the Red Raiders lose, it is all Ryan's fault. He predicted it, and he is the one who jinxed us. So in the comments section of the game recap, which he will put out Sunday after the Horned Frogs leave Lubbock, feel free to give him a bunch of grief if we do indeed lose. But hopefully we don't. That is the plan. And until then, thanks for reading the site. Thanks for supporting the site. Thanks for Ryan joining us today. And we will talk again next Sunday. Thanks. Wreck 'em.